Trevor makes some comment about how he's not going to write down when his recording is. And I went, Trevor, we're going to fight. You know, how can we fight? You're sideways. Trevor, you're sideways every episode. It's like so aggro right off the bat.
I love this energy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Crime Pop. We are the podcast that takes a look at movies, TV shows, any sort of fictional media, and we observe crimes in them. I'm Trevor, and today I'm joined by Jeff Wyrick.
Aloha.
And Sydney Bowman.
Hello.
Today, Sydney is the host, so can you take it away for us?
I sure can. So for this episode, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit with our media, and I'm gonna do a song this week.
I'm so excited.
Woo. Do you know what it is, Jeff, or are you just excited about songs?
I'm just excited it's a song.
So I am doing "No Body, No Crime" by Taylor Swift, featuring Haim, the better group here. But
shots the fired.
Singers. Not a Taylor Swift fan. Not even a little bit, but Haim is one of my favorite bands of all time, so I guess we can give Taylor Swift a break on this one. So, not being a Taylor Swift fan, I didn't know that this song is actually a two-parter. Did you know this, Jeff?
No, I didn't.
Did you know this, Trevor?
No, I did not. I also didn't
know. Trevor's probably never heard this song.
Trevor's never heard of Taylor Swift.
Yeah. No. Yeah, music is not my forte, but I'm here to contribute any way I can.
All right. Well, I'm going to break down the entire song for you. So,
What was the first part / second part called?
No Body, No Crime is actually the second part. So the song before it on the album is called Tolerate It. So Tolerate It is actually like the first part of the two-part story, I guess. So Tolerate It talks about the trope of being a dutiful housewife. So this woman does everything for her husband. She does like everything for him. Cooks, cleans, keeps up the house for him. Basically gives her everything, or gives him everything. And she does this at the risk of her own happiness, basically. So she's not happy in the relationship. She's just tolerating the relationship. And she's trying to please him to make him love her more, basically. So in the song, she talks about leaving him. And am I frozen again?
No.
Okay.
You're
solid. You were just staring, so I didn't know.
I was listening.
Okay. So in the song, she talks about leaving him, ruining his entire life, uprooting his entire life by leaving, because she won't be there to do everything for him anymore. And she talks about doing what makes her happy and finding ways to make herself happy outside of the relationship. So he doesn't give her like the love and attention that she really craves and desires. So and he's pretty mistreatful of her. That's not a word.
Abusive?
I mean, physically, or I mean, not physically abusive, but definitely verbally. And she finds out that she assumes that he's cheating on her because of the way that he treats her. And she becomes extremely suspicious of this. And this is kind of where it goes into No Body, No Crime, which is the second song, or the second part. So this song is actually given from the perspective of the wife's best friend. So we're changing up the roles a little bit. But so the best friend knows that the wife, which we now know her name is Esty, which is actually one of the band members of the band Haim. So they used her name for the song. So Esty suspects her husband's cheating on her. The best friend knows about this. And Esty tells her that he smells like another woman. And he's buying jewelry that he's not giving her. So she's seen like jewelry bought on their joint bank account. And she assumes that he's cheating on her. And she even says in the song, I think I'm going to call him out. Like, I'm gonna tell him that I think he's cheating on me. So when Esty doesn't show up for their Tuesday night dinner date at Olive Garden, specifically Olive Garden, the friend gets super worried. And she finds out that Esty also didn't show up for work that day. And so they report her missing. Well, the husband specifically reports her missing. And one day, the best friend drives by her house and notices that there's new tires on his truck and that the mistress has moved in. And the mistress is even sleeping in Esty's bed. Like, that's a quote from the song. So the chorus of the song repeats, I think he did it, but I just can't prove it. No body, no crime, but I ain't letting up until the day I die. So that's a quote from, like, the best friend's perspective. So she's like, I know that he did it, but I'm not going to give up trying to prove that he did it until I die. So my favorite part at the end of the chorus is you can hear Chaim in the background saying he did it, like, over and over and over again. And I think that's a cool little, like, tidbit that they threw in, like, he did do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going on to the, I think it's the second verse. No, third verse, sorry. The third verse. The best friend says, good thing my daddy made me get a boating license when I turned 15. And I've cleaned enough houses to know how to cover up a scene. Good thing Esty's sister's gonna swear that she was with me. Good thing his mistress took out a big life insurance policy. So,
we have, from the first part, we have an unhappy wife, right? Who starts to kind of suspect that her husband is a cheater and just an overall asshole, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, more or less. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly she goes missing and all of the fingers are getting pointed at this guy because he just immediately lets this other woman move in, correct?
Well, the only finger that's getting pointed at him is from the best friend.
Okay, because
she's the one that thinks that the husband killed her, killed the wife.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if I am an investigating detective, which I'm not, obviously, I would also be quite suspicious. And why is nobody else suspicious of this guy? Don't you usually go for, like, the spouse first if somebody goes missing? Anyway, it also, though, I don't know if it, like, happens in the same instant like you kind of described, but, man, the guy should, like, I don't know, have some space in between, like, you know, his wife going missing and somebody moving in.
Right. Like, that would be so fucking fishy if that happened in real life.
Right.
This was, like, my favorite song off this record, so I'm excited to be covering it. But, yeah, it's definitely, like, the whole concept of, like, no body, no crime. We don't know. She's dead. She could just be missing, but fucking Christ, Craig. worthless. Craig's like, fuck Taylor Swift. but it's definitely like she's the best friend is the only one searching till the day she dies. Like, there would certainly be, like, detectives all around this trying to look at this guy. Like, if his alibi is the mistress and then 2 weeks later she moves in with him, like, that's got to be a red flag, right?
I think the point that Trevor was alluding to earlier was, like, there is no body, so there's no proof behind it.
Right.
And that's, like, the big missing piece is, like, they don't know where her body is, so, like, how are they going to pin anything on anyone in specific, you know?
Like, it probably wouldn't be a far leap to say that, like, some of her family knew that she was unhappy in the marriage. Maybe she just ran away.
Yeah.
You know, like, it could just be a missing persons case. We don't know. A missing persons case.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Or it would be terrible, but what if she just didn't tell her best friend? And maybe, like, because everything's from the perspective of the friend, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's the only one that doesn't know, or maybe she doesn't see what other people are doing. So who knows?
Right. Yep. All really good questions and inquiries, guys.
It's such... so, not to derail, but can I bring up a conversation that Sydney and I had off the podcast?
Of course.
So we've all kind of discussed doing songs in the past, and like when Sydney told me she's doing a song, I was like, hey, do you think we could like tweet at the artist? Like maybe, you know, like if they're down to earth enough, who knows, maybe they'll say yes. And Sydney's like, yeah, I don't think they're gonna say yes. I think you're probably right.
I
bet
they won't. I did message Taylor Swift. Guess what? Didn't get a response.
I mean,
Taylor, if you're listening, listen.
Yeah. Sydney. I'm going to say, though, starting off the episode saying, Taylor Swift fucking sucks and I hate her. Oh, yeah. That's the best way to
go. I never said that.
We may have better odds. May have a better chance at messaging Haim.
Yeah.
Dude, if this could be a Taylor, like, even if it's not this episode, I would put like 15 as the opening and outro music for every episode of Sheila. Like, that would be such a funny thing. Oh, God.
I don't hate Taylor Swift. I just am not a fan, so I don't listen to her music. Or I don't go out of my way to listen to her music. How about that?
Wonderful.
Okay. Okay. So going back to the best friend's perspective, she says, good thing my dad made me get a boating license when I turned 15. And I've cleaned enough houses to know how to cover up a scene. And then she said,
straight up laying out the fact that she's got a plan to kill him.
Right. Bum, bum, bum. And then this is her alibi. She says, good thing Esty's sister is going to swear that she's with me. And then good thing his mistress took out a big life insurance policy. So
there's
who they're pitting it on. The next chorus changes slightly. And instead of saying, I think he did it, they say, they think she did it. But they can't prove it. But they just can't prove it.
So I don't actually, hearing that in the song the first few times I heard it back when this came out, I didn't really understand that part. What are they referencing?
So they're referencing that that the best friend kills the husband, but they pin it on the mistress. So they think, as in the police, think that the mistress killed the husband.
Interesting.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does. I didn't.
I'm just going to put my hopes and dreams out here right now. I hope that the best friend or Taylor Swift, whoever went missing, she comes out at the end and then everything gets weird. Those are my hopes and dreams.
I mean, it's a 3-minute song.
I know. You can only cram so much plot into it.
Right.
So the song then says, she thinks I did it, but she just can't prove it. Meaning that the mistress thinks that the best friend killed the husband, but she can't prove it. But of course, no body, no crime, right?
No body, no crime, right?
And then she says, and I wasn't letting up until the day he died instead of the day I died. So that really admits to the listeners that she kills her best friend's husband because he killed her.
Yeah, and so like the police are basically non-existent in this story.
Except for at the beginning of the song where you hear the sirens.
It's right. Shout out to that button on the mixer.
Yeah.
In the studio. but yeah, I mean, it really establishes the whole no body, no crime, and like it explains how the best friend knows how to hide a body. Yeah, I mean, classic revenge tale.
Right.
The kind of storytelling that you don't typically see in Taylor Swift's music.
Going to the crime aspect, I kind of put it into two different sections, like the real world stuff. So I researched no body laws, mm-hmm. and I researched revenge killing. Mm-hmm. So,
ooh,
no body laws when it comes to that. Since 1843, there have been more than 500 known no body murder trials in the U.S. So, instances.
Wait, what?
Since 1843. There have been more than 500 known no-body murder trials in the U.S. So, trials where someone was convicted of a murder or charged with murder, but there was no body found.
And not to sound like an ignorant bastard, but...
I might be right there with you.
Is that a low number or a high number? Like, is that lower than what would be expected or higher?
Yeah, that's kind of my question, too.
I mean, that's almost 200 years. I mean... 180 years, roughly.
So it's like 2.5 a year.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's pretty... I feel like that's pretty big. I mean, consider... You know,
Jeff, when actually you say 2.5 per year, I'm actually going to have to agree with this now. I was thinking that sounds like a little low. But like 2.5... Like, imagine 2 or 3 cases per year of we have no friggin' clue what happened to somebody. Like... But all of the evidence is there, right? That's what a no-body trial is, right? Like, all the evidence is there, just no body, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that, like, 2 or 3 a year sounds like a lot, honestly, now.
Yeah. I agree. So sometimes, if a body is not found, prosecutors can use other evidence to secure a conviction, like blood splatters, hair... other evidence, like maybe they find the person's car or wallet or keys or whatever. But if there's no other evidence, it can be difficult to convict someone of a crime. And sometimes people will get off if no body is found and there's no evidence to support that they murdered the person. About 86% of no body murder cases, this is a cool statistic. About 86% of no-body murder cases that go to trial result in a conviction, compared to all murder cases in general, with a conviction rate of 70%.
Damn.
Wait. Yeah, so
numbers.
So if you just happen to find yourself in a no-body situation, you're more likely to get convicted than just general murder?
Yep. With a body.
Oh, if they get the body? Wait. Oh, right. So if you're in the nobody situation,
you're more likely to get convicted
than if there's a body.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds nuts, though.
I know.
I mean, I guess if there's like, it allows for more, I don't know if conjecture is the right word, but like it allows for more speculation.
Yep.
Which can sway people more, like, as opposed to, like, if this person, and you know, this is obviously an extreme example, but, like, if somebody doesn't have a single knife in their house and they died by a stab wound, then we know that you could know that it wasn't that person. But if you don't know how they died, you just know that they're likely dead, you could say they died by strangulation.
Right. The evidence goes a long way, I guess it's what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
In determining whether someone's guilty or not. And if there's really no evidence, then I don't know. If you're the person that they're pinning it on, you're more likely to get convicted.
But so, and I don't know how knowledgeable you guys are about this individual. Ted Bundy, what was it? Something like 20 or 30 bodies were never found. That he just like admitted to.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's my comment for the night.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. I knew something that's connected with what we're talking about. I just wanted to show.
I mean, I think the thing that made it easier with that is that Ted Bundy was already going to be convicted for other murders that they did know he had.
Right.
And it wasn't like they were randomly pinning them on him. He was like admitting to things. Same with like the Zodiac killer. Like that's why when people are admitting to cases, they keep certain details hidden from the public. And if you're admitting to something, they ask you for those details. Like the Zodiac killer, like when he would write letters to the paper, he would claim murders that were unsolved and like write what type of weapon was used because he knew that. I don't really know why what we're talking about. How yeah, we okay. got here.
I said what's next on the. Okay.
So next is revenge killing. So revenge killing would be the example of the best friend killing the husband because he killed her best friend because he killed his wife. So it's kind of interesting to me that there's really no difference in being charged with revenge killing murder rather than just straight up murdering someone. In a way, murder is murder. So it doesn't matter if you were avenging someone or not. It still counts as murder. So revenge killing is technically left to the government, whatever form you're in or wherever you're at. So forms of that would be considered like death row or capital punishment, where the government is stepping in and putting someone to death for, you know, a crime that they committed.
If somebody commits a revenge killing, then the government steps in?
No.
So revenge killing is no different than just murdering someone. Murder is murder. Sure. So you can't get like you can't claim, oh, I was just revenging or avenging someone's death and killing that person. Mm-hmm. Murder is murder. So you would just get charged with murder, whatever degree they decided.
I see.
I like the statement of revenge killing is left to the government.
Yeah.
Like that's a very.
Yeah.
That's like a money move statement right there.
Right. Yeah. So Trevor, what I meant by that is like the government. So like the US government is the one that takes that role of revenge killing. So like death row or capital punishment, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, torture, whatever it is. They take that role of the revenge killing.
All right. I'm all caught up. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so this is a cool statistic but cool thing that I found. So research has actually shown an increase in revenge killing in the last 20 years. And experts believe that this is due to a distrust of the criminal justice system, as well as the view of police not working towards justice for many more marginalized groups. I don't know, kind of a cool, very current situation that we're seeing the day we're recording this is the final day of the Derek Chauvin case.
Found guilty on all charges.
Yep. Maybe things like that will change the statistic of revenge killing, but we can only hope.
Trevor, you should listen to these. This is probably the easiest thing to like of the things we've covered to go and ingest.
It's 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
6 minutes if you listen to Tolerate It Too.
No, that's fair. Man, I just do not have an affinity for music at all. I know I could just pick a random song, but man, I don't know.
This is probably one of the better options of a song to cover. With the ideas for songs I've had, I've really been struggling how to stretch it out to like our 30-minute mark, and you did that well.
Where are we at? About 34.
Yeah, 34.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you like this, go to wherever you get your podcast and rate us 5 stars. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Leave a like, leave a comment. I'm Trevor, and I was joined by Jeff and Sydney. So we will see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.